Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot. Oh my! It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Psychic medium Helene Olson and paranormal researcher Patricia Baker. Here are Supernatural Girls.
Good evening, everyone. It is Labor Day weekend. Today is August 31st, 2013, and Supernatural Girls is live on the air this evening with Margaret DeWeiss, author of two books. One is called Black Snake, and the other one is called Ecstatic Healing, and she has journeyed extensively throughout the world to speak to such luminaries as John of God and many other well-known international healers. Hello, fabulous partner, Patricia Baker. How are you this evening?
I am fine, Helene. It's nice to be back on the air with you. You know, it feels like it's been just so long, and we only missed one show because we were taking a little bit of a break at the end of the summer, but it feels like a lot longer, doesn't it?
It does feel like a lot longer, and I don't know why. Maybe we're just so in the rhythm of doing this every week because we love it so much. And I tell you, some of our guests have just been unbelievable, and I really think that Margaret is going to be fabulous as well because this subject is just so interesting to so many people. You know, this the subtitle on Ecstatic Healing for her is Journey into the Shamanic World of Spirit Possession and Miraculous Medicine, and I love that. I love that. So
I know. Who wouldn't want to know about this? I mean, and she, Margaret herself has experienced the healing in many different ways. So I know she's going to tell us all about it, and I cannot wait. It's great, and I'm so thrilled that Margaret has made the time to come on our show. People are going to be excited to hear what she has to say, that's for sure.
They are, and people should call in at 646-478-0828 and ask your question live on the air. We'll be happy to put you on live and let you talk to Margaret. But, you know, someone on Facebook had an interesting post with me today. She asked if we were going to be doing healings live on the air. And I think we should schedule that sometime. What do you think, Patricia?
I think we should. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I mean, we could get a bunch of us each doing our own sort of specialty in healing. And that would come across really well on the radio, I think. So, and the energy stays on the archive as well, so people could re-listen to it later.
I think that's a great idea. I'm all for it.
Yeah, it would be great. But do you have any paranormal news tonight?
You know, I do. There's been a lot of things going on. And here's another mystery that was brought to our attention, and it's strange sounds in British Columbia. At first, people thought maybe it was a big prank, and then they realized that so many people in Terrace, British Columbia, were hearing it, that it wasn't a prank. And they basically awoke to a rather unearthly sound. And this sound was heard in many parts of the city at 7:30 in the morning. The sound lasted for about 10 minutes, and it was recorded by a lot of people. So they don't know what it was. But similar sounds have been reported all over the world in recent years, including Russia and the UK, and even here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So, again, who knows what it is, but a physics professor at Saskatchewan theorized that it's likely electromagnetic noise emitted from auroras and radiation belts. But I am going to try to play a little bit of this so people can hear, because it is just absolutely wild. So I'm going to get this on. Hang on one second.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can hear, it sounds almost musical.
Well, it's mathematical patterning is what I heard.
Interesting. So where do you think it's coming from?
I just heard the term mathematical patterning, but it's when they say something like that to me, I'm getting it not as alien, but more as the physics professor said, either it's radiation or some kind of energetic in the sky, or it's coming from the earth. But it's definitely mathematical. That's why it sounds like music. Isn't that interesting?
Isn't it? I can't imagine waking up at 7:30 in the morning and hearing that. I mean, not having a source to identify it, it's got to really freak some people out in a major way.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange. So that's the paranormal news, these unusual
sounds
that people are hearing.
Yeah, they were hearing the other sounds of banging and loud humming and all kinds of different things, and I always heard that it was coming from the earth. This one I'm not getting as earthbound. I'm getting it more like the professor had said, that it's in the air somehow. So.
Yeah, well, it's a strange mystery. And, again, what it sounded like to me, I thought of Gabriel's horn. That's what came to me when I heard it. It's like, wow, the horn's all the way up.
Yeah.
He's blowing that horn. We better watch out. So
here's my paranormal news for tonight, Patricia. We're driving along the highway, coming from a fair distance. Took about an hour to come back from where we were coming from. And far in the sky, we see the glowing white light. Okay?
Wow.
My husband says to me, I think that's the moon peeking through the clouds. I said, I don't think it's the moon. Okay? So we're getting closer. I'm like, it looks like a UFO to me. I don't know what else to call it.
All right.
And the kids are screaming in the back saying it's a blimp.
Oh,
I said,
darn.
That doesn't look like a blimp. It's too odd looking. And so Arthur turns right to me and says, it says hood right on the side of it.
Oh, gee.
And I couldn't see it.
So much for that mystery. That was the solve.
That was so funny.
Goodness.
Arthur started laughing. The kids started laughing. It was pretty funny. But
that's great.
It's interesting how something can be mistaken.
Yes, I mean, I think that's a lot of what investigators have said about UFOs, and there are so many of them where you can look up in the sky and think it's a UFO, but it, in fact, is something else. But then there's that percentage that really have no explanation, and that
that's
so
true.
Intriguing.
Oh, that is so true, but it was just a funny joke in the family the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, and it wasn't. It was a blimp.
A blimp.
It was a company name on the side of it that I still never saw, so, yeah.
Oh, my.
Pretty funny. Yeah, so it's Labor Day weekend, Patricia.
It is. I can't believe it. Where did the summer go?
I don't know.
I can't believe it. Blinked my eyes, and the summer disappeared.
Gone. That's it.
Wow.
I know. I can smell fall
already.
Well,
but we've accomplished
really
quite
sad.
A bit. You know, we've interviewed a wonderful group of people over the summer months. We've got terrific new people coming up, a great guest for tonight, and we have an announcement to make. The Supernatural Girls store is now open for business. And we have a product in there for sale that we should talk about because it's so powerful. It is a prosperity prayer that is spoken in the ancient angelic language by Becky Andreasen. And everybody should just go to supernaturalgirls.com. And in the upper left-hand side of the menu, click on Store, and it will bring you right to the explanation about the prayer, directions for listening to it. And we've listened to it, Helene, so we know how powerful this thing is.
Well, Patricia, I channel a lot of energy, and I do a lot of connection with the angelic realm and all of that. But I got to tell you, Becky's prayer is really has to be right up there at the very top of the most powerful energy I've ever felt. She absolutely speaks, reads, and writes in angelic language and channels prayers directly from her elders. And I listen to this particular prayer often, and her power is just immense. You can listen to this recording over and over again for yourself. And each time you listen to it, I guarantee that you'll find a new level of clearing with it because it is just phenomenal.
It is, and I feel the same way. It is just beyond anything I've ever heard before. And it really pulls in the most powerful powerful source energy, and it goes to wherever it needs to go to clean things out, clear it out, reorganize it. So if you are not connected to your own level of abundance and prosperity, it really makes it happen. So I'm just thrilled that Becky's prayer is on our website in our store, and it's available at a very reasonable price. It's a download, so once you pay for it through PayPal, you can immediately download the file and start listening right away.
It's just amazing, and I am so honored that she was agreeable to allow us to promote this product, because it's something that we absolutely believe in with both our hearts, right, Patricia?
We do. We're not going to have anything up on that site in the store that we haven't used ourselves. We're going to stand behind our products, and this one we do. We totally stand behind this product.
And you know me, I'm always behind with everything, but pretty soon I'll be putting up the Prosperity Charm to go with Becky's prayer, because I do charge objects with angelic energy, and they are very powerful. I've gotten a lot of great reviews on my jewelry, but the charm will just be a small thing that people can buy that they can actually hold in their hand and feel her, you know, sort of a connection to her prayer and also its own energy. So it's going to be a great store, Patricia. I'm so excited about it. I really am.
Yes, me too. And if everybody can bear with us while I learn all of the design elements, because that's a whole new thing I got to wrap my brain around.
Oh, please.
In the meantime, the prayer is available, and people can go to that part of our website where it's marked store, and it'll bring you right to it. So be sure to check it out. There's a nice description there. It'll tell you more about who Becky is and how she comes to put these things together. There will be a series of prayers. This is the very first one.
And prosperity is available to everybody. And the prosperity, I have to say, just as Becky does, that it's not just about money. It's about abundance in all things. You know,
that's
about
true.
Clearing and opening for yourself to be happier, to prosper in your attitude, to prosper in your daily life, to have small miracles happen all the time, and we're not guaranteeing a lottery win here.
Although that can happen, why not?
It
you know, all things are possible all the time.
Oh,
so
all
you
things
never
are
know.
Possible, but it just really is a fantastic clearing, and as I said, I use it myself all the time, so it's a great thing.
It is. So go to supernaturalgirlswithaz.com and click on the store icon, which you will see on the left-hand side of the menu.
Great, great. Boy, we have so much stuff coming up this fall. Patricia, it's going to be a busy time.
Oh, my head's spinning already, and it hasn't even started, but that's okay.
Yeah, next week I'll talk about some of my events coming up for the fall, and that'll be fun, but go right over to the website, supernaturalgirlswithaz.com, and while you're there, make sure and sign up for Patricia's fabulous weekly newsletter. It's chock full of information, and also we'll give you a heads up on coming guests and free giveaways. So, right now, we'd like everyone to call in at 646-478-0828. You can listen live on the phone and take your phone with you wherever you're going. And you can also ask to come live on the air and talk to author Margaret DeWeiss. So let's get her on the air. Is that okay with you, Patricia?
Oh, please. Let's bring her on.
Hello, Margaret.
Hello.
Colleen. You're live on the air.
Absolutely live. It's like sitting with y'all in the backyard just having a little bit of a chat.
And a glass of wine, Margaret, and a glass of wine.
And a glass of wine, yeah. And the crickets in the background, our feet up, and just great. It's really great to hear you, too. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. My goodness, you know, I was so struck by your story. And you're a great writer, very descriptive. I felt like I was right with you in this journey. And my God, what courage you have. You are one brave lady.
You think so?
I do.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you.
I mean, you shunned traditional medical treatment. You followed your intuition. Tell us all about this, how this all got started. You have a remarkable story to share, so please tell us how all this began.
You would like me to tell you about the story in Ecstatic Healing, or it?
Well, if you could start with your experience with the necklace.
Oh. Okay.
And then how that led into your own diagnosis thereafter,
sure.
And then all your choices that you were faced with. That was a lot of change in your life all of a sudden. So please.
Yeah, I went through maybe 10 years or so, or maybe I'm continuing. In fact, I am continuing. A lot of very intense change. It did start in the book. It starts in, I think, in 1992 or 93, I've forgotten already, where I'm at a friend's house in upstate New York, and someone has just flown in who's been all over the world working with different healers and medicine men in the southern hemisphere and the northern hemisphere, and nobody knows what's going to happen, but he has an altar out with a lot of objects on it, and he said to people, please don't touch them, they're holy. Okay. And then he begins to sing. And he asks everyone to stand in a circle. And he's dancing around, and the energy's really great. And then he goes over to the altar. He picks up an object, which turns out to be a necklace of white beads. And he starts passing it along to people in the circle, and after about 10 people, it came to me. And the minute I touched it, my body went into convulsions, and there was this huge electricity, I guess I could say that's what it felt like, going through me, and I couldn't let go of the necklace. And Brad was telling me, hold on to the power, hold on to the power. And we were almost flying around the room, and everything was turning into streamers, and I could see from the peripheral vision people's mouths were open, like, what is going on? Finally, I broke free. We both broke free, and I went to collect myself, so to speak. Later on in the evening, I asked Brad what that was. And he said, well, it was a necklace of the highest shaman, which is known as the Sangoma, Sanusi, the highest of all the priests in Zululand, and that he had gotten it in an initiation to become a Sangoma.
But nobody reacted to it, just you. You were the only one.
In this particular way, yeah, it was phenomenally charged for me, and and inside of me, I felt very charged. And the closest thing I can think of, in a certain kind of way, is when I was in college. I was working at a hamburger joint, and there was a popcorn machine, and I put my hand in there and got electrocuted. So it was sort of like that. It was very powerful. Sort of like that, but not. Later that evening, I had a dream about the Zulu priest, and basically he wanted me to come to South Africa. And when I finally did make my way to the Transvaal, he looked just like he did when he came to me in this vision or dream. I'm not even sure which one it was. So that's how Ecstatic Healing begins.
Now, you also, in this time period, went to the Monroe Institute.
Love the Monroe Institute.
Now, who was your trainer there when you were there?
Actually, you know, that was 91, 92, somewhere around there. Skip was there, Joe McMonigal, Robert Monroe's daughter,
Scooter
was there, yeah. Oh, so you know the Institute.
I used to work for Bob.
Oh, my gosh.
And I know Scooter and Joe very, very well. And when I was reading your book, I was like, oh, my goodness, this is like old home week, because Margaret has had an experience there. So were you there for a week-long training?
I was there for a week training, and it was incredibly powerful for me. I would love to go there often. I think it's a wonderful experience, and it's incredibly powerful because it does take you to the invisible dimensions.
It really does. I mean,
non-physical world. It's extraordinary.
It is. Bob's work was truly an incredible force of pioneering ingenuity, and I just so respect what he did in creating the Institute. And I remember I was there very close to the beginning, not right at the beginning, like Scooter, obviously, but I remember when we would have people come in to do the program, and people would become so right-brain dominant, they couldn't find their way home. So they'd get into cars to drive home, and they couldn't find their way. I mean, it was finally, you know, Bob decided, well, that's not a good thing, and we're going to take a couple days at the end of the week to try to get them back to their left brain so at least they can find their way home without too much trouble. So it was an interesting evolution, and I just had so many wonderful experiences there, met so many great people that came through
it.
From all over the world. So it's interesting that was also part of your journey.
I learned a lot over there, but I wanted to talk about coming home. So I got on the plane to go back to New York City, and a friend had gone with me, and we were sitting on this prop plane, and it was spinning around, and we were both feeling nauseous like we were going to vomit because we were used to listening to incredibly pure sounds, and this was chaotic and messy and noisy and dirty. We finally made it off the plane. We're in LaGuardia. There are lots of people coming and going, as there are in New York City airports. And I looked at her, I looked at Kiki, she looked at me, and I said, "Are you seeing what I'm seeing?" She said, "I am." Everybody in New York was walking in slow motion. I was like, whoa. You know, cabs were just barely inching along. I made it to upstate New York, and, I was watching auras in the trees and the plants and people for weeks after that. So it's an incredibly powerful mode of teaching and learning and experience, the Monroe Institute. I loved it.
Oh, that's great to hear. That's
they should
wonderful.
Have me be their spokesman.
You really? Yeah, you could do a commercial for them.
Yeah. And I could go back.
Yes, that's right. You could go back. Well, and then, you know, through all these wonderful experiences and very unique experiences that you've had, you then were faced with a diagnosis that was somewhat somewhat frightening.
It was frightening. It was incredibly frightening, and it got a hold of me big time. I kept having a dream, and this little guy would come to me at night, and he kept pointing at my breast, and he said, "You're sick. You have to go to a doctor." And I would wake up and say, "Oh, that was a very unpleasant dream." And he kept coming. And after so many months, I went and had a mammogram, and lo and behold, I had that thing that I do not name, because the name will give it power. And it really shook me.
So you were diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, you said it.
I had to say it so our audience would know. That which shall not be named, it's left to their imagination. So I just
read the
wanted
book.
The audience to know that you were diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at the time, as a composer, and I had a lot of commissions. I was in Europe and California and writing like crazy, partially to escape this horror, but also it was almost like I was driven to create, which was really interesting for me. And so the doctors are saying, "Oh, you need radiation, you need surgery, you need to take these pills for 5 years," and I'm like, "This doesn't feel good to me. I don't think so." I really had a very negative reaction to the treatments. And, you know, I did do a lot of work on the internet and talked to alternative health people. I talked to people that were in terminal stages. How did they beat it? And finally, I was in a town and I ran into an old friend and she said, you know, I'm going to Guatemala because there's a Choltun, which is a transition period in 2000 up into the year 2012, and the Mayans have a prophecy that has been sitting for 500 years. It is now going to be actualized, and they need people of all races. There are a few white people going. There's one place left. There's going to be a lot of healers there. Do you want to go? And it was like, dang, I think I'm going to find my healer there.
How amazing. So
yeah.
You basically said no to traditional treatment.
I said no. I said no. My gut told me I said no. But, you know, I'm not advocating this for anybody else because healing is extremely private. I have people come to me and they say, I'm getting the chemo because I know if I don't get the chemo, I'm going to die. And I'm like, okay, these people know exactly what their body needs, and they know what they need to do, whatever their life path is. So I'm not advocating everybody just ignore what doctors say because they can help us too.
Well, I think that's a balanced way to look at this, and I agree with you that that healing is a personal choice, whatever path you want to take, and it is personal. So whatever anybody decides, it's their thing. And you made a very interesting decision not to go along with the traditional healing, and on top of that, to go to Guatemala to find a healer to work with. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it was extraordinary there. There were ceremonies for 2 weeks nonstop. In Tikal and in Lake Atitlan and up in the highlands. And during this time, they had flown in people from South America and North America all the way up to Alaska, Native American Indians from the north and from the south. And it was at that point I was walking among them and doing the ceremonies, and I didn't tell anybody what was going on with me because I felt like whoever it was, that I would find them or they would find me, or not. I just wasn't making an advertisement about it. And I would look at different people and I go, that person could really heal me. I'm just going to wait. And finally, an Amazonian Indian from the high upper Amazon in Ecuador came, and he was in his full regalia, which were bandoliers of seeds and a corona of toucan feathers and bare-chested and feathers and all sorts of things. And he came up to me and he said, you know, I can see inside your body. He said, black smoke is trapped in your breast.
Oh, my.
I can see you as if I were looking at a clear glass that someone drinks out of. I can see your veins and your organs. If you come to Ecuador, if you come to the jungle, I will heal you.
That's quite an invitation.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people would say yes, but when I went home, my family and my friends, are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? I said, I'm going.
Wow.
And that's how that began.
Just incredible. And on that note, my goodness, I can't wait to hear the rest of this story. Helene, should we take a short break and come right back?
Oh, this is really, I'm getting chills just listening to you, Margaret.
Oh, yum, yum, yum. we'll have to put a sweater on. Cool outside.
Yeah.
Well, let's take this moment to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Yes, stay tuned.
Thank you. Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get Attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy Attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Sometimes life can be a challenge. Would you like insight and guidance to help you make the best choices right now? Contact Helene at angelslighthouse.com to make your personal appointment for a psychic reading or energy alignment. Helene is a direct channel to the angelic realm and is remarkably capable of connecting to the living as well as to your loved ones on the other side. Helene is available to clients all over the world via phone or Skype, and it's simple to set up a group reading anywhere. Visit angelslighthouse.com, where you'll find an easy way to schedule right online. And while you're there, sign up for the Angels Lighthouse newsletter and receive information on all the free energy circles, giveaways, and jewelry with a message. Visit angelslighthouse.com and contact Helene today.
And thank you for staying tuned to Margaret's incredible journey in healing. And Margaret, I have to say, everything you have said has been totally inspirational. Sometimes we're hesitant to follow our own gut feeling, and it's just an incredible journey that you've been through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, following the gut, you got it. That's mm-hmm. the money number, and I don't mean that in dollars and cents.
Yeah, that's
our real guiding system.
Mm-hmm. So what happened?
Go ahead, Pauline.
I was going to say, so continue with your story about what happened when you met this amazing healer.
Well, I went to Ecuador, and after a month, I believe, he put me through one initiation after another, really intense things. Here I am in the jungle, right? And we're coming into this settlement at night, and we're going along this little teeny path, and we have our flashlights, and there are, I don't know, seven or eight other male Indians. And the Carlos said, wait, I have to run. I'm going. And he took off, and I'm with all these unknown guys, right? And we're in the middle of the jungle in the dark. Well, no, I was with a bunch of guys, and they kept saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry.
No, what I mean is you didn't travel to Ecuador with a friend or anybody?
No.
Wow.
And so it turns out that one of the people in the back, they thought, got eaten by a crocodile or attacked.
Oh, my goodness.
So he had gone in the back. This was the beginning. This was the very, very beginning. Eventually, we get to the village. There's torches there and so on. And he eventually shows up. But then the next morning, I'm looking on the banks, and there are, like, dozens of crocodiles on either side. And I'd been walking through this at night. So it went from that to... being prepared to take treatment, which required me being buried in the earth, and which was very intense. All of these stories are in the book Black Smoke. Eventually, he tells me I'm healed, and at that point, I start working with him as an apprentice. And so there are lots of stories of us going in the jungle, healing different people and seeing some amazing things that go on. During that time, my marriage fell apart. And, I was in the jungle all the time, basically.
How many weeks were you in the jungle when you went to your first healing experience?
I was there maybe a month. I came back for a week, and then I went back, something like that.
Now, during the first healing experience, because I was reading this in your book, Ecstatic Healing, somebody told you, I believe her name was Anna, told you that, was it this healer or was it another healer that was able to change, he actually would change his eye color because of the different beings working through him. Was that John of God or was that,
that
was John,
was
of, God?
John of God. That is John of God. That is John of God. Yeah.
And so that happened at a later time than after you left Guatemala?
Yes, actually, I went to Guatemala. I came back to New York. Then I went to Ecuador. And I was back and forth in Ecuador for, a few years. And during that time, I started also going to Brazil to see who this John of God was. And I think the first time that I went to him was in 2001. That was my first visit. During this time, I was also in Bali and Egypt and all over the place. But, I was keeping it, this particular story about Brazil and South Africa because they threaded and led me from one thing to another. So Anna, I met her. She was a Brazilian at the Casa de Dom Inácio, which is the healing house of John of God. A lot of people know about him now, because he's been on Oprah and the BBC, Discovery Channel, and so on. He's quite an extraordinary healer, and I've been going there and also Ecuador since 2000 and 2001. So
you've learned quite a lot from all of your own experience. First of all, you were totally healed from the breast cancer diagnosis that you received years ago, which must have astounded your family and your doctors.
Yeah.
And
the doctors said, oh, no, you should still have this radiation and do this and that. And, of course, I looked up, after up to 20 years, people that, I'm sorry if I'm hurting somebody, but if you have radiation, there's a good chance you can get liver cancer after a few decades. I didn't like that.
I can see why.
I was like,
yes.
No, I don't like that. And the other things that they were offering me, the side effects were so horrendous. Radiation. I worked with someone who they had made a mistake on the radiation and burned all his ribs.
Oh, my goodness.
They crumbled into dust. So I have a little bit of a bone to pick with the medical profession, and of course these are examples that are not everyday typical, but they can happen, and it just wasn't where I was going at the time. I don't know, in the future I might choose something else, but that's how I felt about it.
So when you came back from all of this healing experience in Ecuador, you went in for new mammograms and found that the spot had disappeared, or did they decide it was no longer malignant?
They couldn't find any cells at all, but they still wanted me to have the treatment because they were like, yeah, we don't find anything, but, the likelihood is that you should just have this just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept saying radiation, 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 and this other stuff. And I said, I'm sorry, doctor, I just can't do it. And then he whispered in my ear, he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I've been in the jungle. And he says, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So then I was like, well, you know, I mean, maybe everybody has to say these things so they don't get sued. And this is how, you know, an oncologist will treat a patient. They have certain things. They have pills, they have chemo, they have radiation, they have experimental drugs. This is what they know. But for me, I kept saying, it's not good for me. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. And, of course, it's a really tough decision because you think, well, what if I get worse? What if I'm going to die? What if I get metastasis? What if this? What if that? And those are real concerns.
Yeah, what if you got eaten by a crocodile? That was another concern. I mean, it's not like you were in
exactly
in a luxury hotel situation here. I mean, you were in the thick of the jungle in a foreign, totally foreign environment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, they don't have toilets, you know, forget about the shower and the comfortable bed and, you know, whatever. You know, deadly snakes, lots of excitement over there.
Yes. Well, this
but,
is
you
what
know,
I mean. You're one brave lady to take on this kind of a journey.
That's funny. Yeah, well, that's what I did. What can I tell you?
So from
and
there,
I go
you
there
also
frequently.
Received training, though. You didn't just get healed yourself and then go back to your normal life. From what you're describing, you basically received training, and then your life continued to change from there. You continued to travel, and then you ended up, one of your next steps was to be with John of God, who, yes, a lot of people have heard about that, and we want to hear your personal experience.
He's a powerful healer, powerful, and you know, I read Josie Ravenwing. She had written something in 99 about this miraculous healer in Brazil who could take a knife and cut into a person's body without using sterilization or anesthesia, pull out tumors and sew it up with one or two threads, very little blood. Some people were getting cured miraculously. And I was at a stage where I'd been studying for a while, and I was like, okay, if this is true, I'm from Missouri, or my parents were. I said, I'm going to see it. I have to see it to believe it. And so that's really kind of what took me down there. And I did see it, and I do believe it. I've seen people be healed instantaneously, and John of God does not have to touch them. And, in fact, they don't have to really be in his presence, although this one guy whose hip needed a new joint, it was completely destroyed, said, you know, I decided, why don't I go down there? You know, it won't hurt. And then if nothing happens, I'll come and get the hip replacement. So I said, well, Norman, how did that work? He said, well, I was in line, you know, because you get in these long lines of 100, 200, 300 people, and you file past John of God, who's in spirit form, and he says, move on or take pills or do this or that. And so the guy said, I got in front of him, and he said, move on, you're healed. And I said, at that moment, I had no pain in my leg. And eventually when he went back to New York, he had an MRI, and his hip was completely perfect. So I saw him again in Brazil 3 months later, and he had his cousins and his aunts and uncles and everybody, and he was running up and down a hill. So that's spectacular. Let's face it, that's spectacular.
That is. That is amazing.
It is spectacular. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question, though. What do you think the percentage is on healing with all of the shamanic practice? Do you think they're able to heal every single person who comes in front of them?
That's such a good question. No, they are not able to do that. I would guess, just my opinion, because I don't have any research and I'm not a researcher, that the cure rate or the healing rate would be as good, if not a little bit better, than allopathic medicine. With less of the side effects. But that being said, what I think is really critical, you know, people go down there and some people will stay for 12 years and finally the healing takes place, which doesn't mean that it happens after 12 years. It takes for their psychic body and maybe their soul 12 years to complete whatever process it is for them to, for the doctors, the spirit doctors, to get to the physical ailment.
Do you think that that, because what I find in energy healing and so forth is that it really, in a way, we are facilitators. We don't have a magic wand, really. It's more about the intention of the soul that you're working with as to how well it works often.
Most definitely. And so, you know, kind of my statement is the healers that I've worked with, in my experience, can heal everything. Are they going to heal you? I don't know. Because it is really up to your karmic path and your soul what's going to happen. And, in fact, like you said, we're facilitators, so that means that we're hollow tubes that this life force energy can come through that will go to the patient, will inform the cells and the organs, hey, everybody, let's get back in tune, let's get back in sync. And the healer never heals the human being that is sick. It is the person's own body, the psychic body, and the soul that heals that person of whatever disease it is. That's my experience from what I've seen.
And that's so eloquently put, because I think that people have to understand that when they're choosing this path or they feel it resonates with them, that it's a good route to go. But it's not 100% guaranteed, just like nothing in life is 100% guaranteed. And
well,
sometimes,
you go and have surgery in a hospital. That's not guaranteed either.
No.
In fact, you sign release forms. You could die on the operating table. Sign this paper. Right?
Yes, that's absolutely true. I mean, there is risk when you enter into hospital. There's no doubt about it. Maybe I'd rather take my chance of the crocodiles, actually, than think about the comparison. But I'm so amazed that of the choices you've made that took such incredible courage, and then you also went on to learn something about what these guys were doing. Now, most of the people you studied with are men, correct? Have you studied with any women shamans?
I have studied with one woman, and I've been in ceremonies with another woman several times. They have all been men, yes.
Interesting that they are. And tell us more about John of God, because, again, he's been a very interesting figure for most of us that do have some knowledge about him. But I was intrigued about the fact that it appears that he has entities working through him and that his eye color changes according to whomever's working with him at the time. And I just find it fascinating because as a psychotherapist for so many years, you run across people who are multiple personalities, and they can change their eye color in a similar way, obviously for different reasons. But tell us about this.
Wow, I really wanted to hear about that.
Well, it's not for the same altruistic purpose that John of God was.
Wait a minute, are they putting contact lenses in?
No.
Okay.
No, but it's a switch, you know, it's a change of personality, and with a change of personality came sometimes a change of eye color. And certainly this is what you wrote about in Ecstatic Healing, that this is one of the things that they told you to do, was to look at his eyes. Mm-hmm. And at first you said you were so overcome with emotion you couldn't look at his eyes. But I just find that a fascinating aspect of his work, and that he has apparently entities that do work through him that have that kind of a profound effect on his own physiology.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I have so much respect for him as a human being, because he's basically, since he was 14 years old, I think he's like 67, 68 now, he's given his entire life to healing people. He's healed millions of people, or millions have come in front of him. So when he's an unconscious medium, which means that he goes to sleep, leaves his body, he doesn't really say, and then another being comes into him, which they call entidade in Brazil, which is entity, which is a spirit. And some of the spirits are doctor spirits. St. Francis comes in, I believe, and Juan Valdivino, who's a doctor, Dr. Augusto. These are all people that lived at some point. King Solomon used to come into his body, and he would do these extraordinary healings. St. Ignatius. So there are about 30 spirits that work through him and him only. And the casa, when you go there, the power that radiates from the ground, from the air, from the sky, from the sun, is so incredibly powerful. Even when you get close to Abhijñāna, some people who are sensitive can start becoming healed. John of God, as an unconscious medium, spends at least three days a week for 8 hours where he is not conscious. And then on the weekends, sometimes he'll go to Recife or other places where he'll work on 10,000 people, and he has to leave. So he's giving up so much of his time on Earth. On top of that, holding a spirit can be very hard on the physical system.
Yeah, it can fry you.
Yeah. So he, I think it was in the 90s, don't remember the date right now, but he was doing some healing work and he fell to the ground. He had had a stroke because some healers, when entities are inside them, it raises the blood pressure. They took him to the hospital. They would hook him up to the machines. All the machines, you know, broke or exploded or stopped working. So they forgot about that. He couldn't move half of his body. His wife took him home, and he was moping around the house and miserable, and he said, you know, I have to get out there and heal again. And they would wheel him on the wheelchair, and he would get in front of people. And when an entity would come inside of him, his body was whole again. And he could walk and he could talk, use both arms. Finally, after about 3 months, he was in front of a group of like 10,000 people. And one of the entities spoke through him and said, "This is our brother. He's been healing people for years, and now it is time for us to heal him." So the entity asked for a scalpel, which was put in John of God's hands. He cut into his chest, and he pulled out a blood clot around his heart, and he sewed himself up. And from that moment on, the stroke was gone.
So he had no more ill effects from the stroke, and he healed.
Well, yeah, the stroke is gone. I think he still has high blood pressure now. But, you know, I mean, he's been doing this for 50 years. Wow, that's a lot.
That's incredible. I mean, that he could cut into his own chest and pull
mm-hmm.
out a blood clot, my goodness, and then sew himself up. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can't even conceive of this. It's so unbelievable. But I have no doubt that he was able to do that in a trance state. But still, what an incredible experience.
Yeah. he did an operation on me. Maybe it was 2001. It's in the book, but you know, it's around that time. Where, you know, I'm blind. Well, you don't know, but I am blind in one eye. And when I was in Ecuador, the healer down there said, you know, I know you're blind in one eye, and I don't know if I can heal it. It's like an 800-year-old eye because you've had so many eye operations and so much medication. Maybe that's the thing that turned me off altogether with, no, I'm not having your medications, because this really messed me up, all these surgeries and stuff on my eye. So I didn't want to have another surgery on my eye. I didn't go down there thinking about it, because some of the surgeries that I would have, the doctor would say, okay, we're going to give you something so you're not going to feel it, but we're not going to put you to sleep because we need you to keep your head completely still. And I would be in the operating chamber completely awake, and this knife would go in over and over and over for about an hour. And you can't say, stop, or I can't take it anymore. You know, you can't move your head. You can't move a muscle. Ow. So I wasn't really into the let me put a knife in your eye thing. Mm-hmm. But the minute I got in front of the entity, there was just so much emotion and so much power. I said, will you operate on my eye? And he agreed. So, that's another story. So I went into the day of the surgery, into the back room, and John of God was there. And there was this music playing. And it was, I wish I was in the land of cotton, Dixieland, Dixieland. I'm like, I've been to Brazil a while. I've never heard, you know, this music from the Civil War. What's going on here? And I'm like, so I said to the translator, why is that music there? And the entity, he says, the entity told me to put it on. I said, well, how did you get it? He said, I don't know. It was just there. Well, my family was from Missouri, and I remember this song all the time when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, which brought back all these memories as I was a child. And as the music is playing, I'm looking at John of God, and there's this really holy feeling about him. And he lifted his arm and stuck his thumb in my eye. And the minute he did, I whooshed out of my body. And I was in this, it's really hard to describe, but completely vulnerable, open. And it wasn't really a trance, but it might have been like some kind of trance that I can't describe because there's so many different kinds.
Now, did it hurt when he did that?
No.
So it just kind of knocked you out of your body.
Blew right out of my body. It was like all of a sudden my soul, my psychic body, just like left.
I can see why.
Well, you know, they basically, I was told later that this was spiritual anesthesia.
Okay.
He took my hand, and I felt like a 5-year-old, and he was so loving. It was like being with somebody like Jesus or something. And we walked into this main hall where there were, you know, 300 or 400 people waiting for him to do operations. And, you know, I don't like crowds like that. I don't, you know, I'm not a show-off or whatever. But I wasn't in a state where I could say, excuse me, I'm not doing this. And he leaned me against the wall, and the entity was talking in the microphone. Should I continue with this?
Well, what happened? You left your body. He had his thumb in your eye, and then did you finally? I mean, obviously, you came back to your body. What happened?
I had the operation, and what happened was that the entity said somebody had died at the casa the day before. And they said, if John of God does an operation, they will take him to jail. Now, the person that died was told to go home and be with their family, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it, and they came into the casa and collapsed. So, but, you know, the authorities in so many countries are always after people that do extraordinary things because it somehow seems, you know, threatening. So he said, is there a doctor in the house? And two doctors got up on stage. A lot of doctors will be in Brazil because they like to witness and see what's what. And there was one from Missouri, a gynecologist.
Of all things.
And he said to the gynecologist, you're going to operate on this woman's eye. And he said, no, I don't know anything about eyes. I'm a gynecologist. I couldn't possibly do anything like that. And he said, you have to because I am not allowed to hold this knife. So he put his hand on the doctor, and he put his hand on me, and he asked me to shut my good eye, so I was basically blind. And all of a sudden I see this arm, this radiating light, come down into my face, and this knife, I can feel the pressure. But it's not so painful, and John of God is saying, harder, harder, do it harder, get in there. And after, I don't know, 5 minutes, it was over. So I could feel the pressure, and there was some part of me that was outside of my body sort of as a witness, but there was some, I don't know what spiritual anesthesia is. I know what it means. And I know that something happened to me that made it feel that way. I was taken to the post-op room where I sort of passed out. And 2 hours later, I was up, and I had to have a taxi take me 2 blocks to my room because I was just in another plane. I was not on the material plane, and for 4 days I was in bed and I had visions, and that's what happened to me during the surgery.
Oh my goodness!
That's
now what happened? I know everybody's on the edge of their seat here. We all want to know: did it restore your vision in that eye?
Well, interestingly enough, you know, there were moments where I would say, "Oh, am I seeing a little bit of a red shape? What is that, you know?" And I said to Josie Ravenwing, I said, you know, I can't see. And she said, well, again, you know, sometimes it takes years and so on. And when John of God had done it to me, he said, I'm going to open up your spiritual sight. And one day, if you have faith, you will be able to see. I am still blind in that eye. At this present moment. So it was an experience that was very powerful for me, and it did open up a huge psychic vision for me that's lasted all this time. And the physical eye has not been able to see. And it's interesting because there was a medium at the CASA from Belo Horizonte, who went in, and he was blind in one eye. And so João told him to sit as a medium, and one day you will see. So 12 years later, he was one of the mediums close to John of God. He got his eyesight back, and he got the sight of a panther. He could run, he said, 30 kilometers in complete darkness because his eyesight was so good. And it took him 12 years to get the sight back. And I said, well, what did they tell you when you kept going and going and going? He said, they had to work on things spiritually before the physical would respond. So, and he's still at the CASA. He, even though he lives, 500 miles away, he comes once a month to work for 3 days, and he's completely devoted to the path.
So he did receive a healing for his eyesight that even took him beyond human sight. And you had your spiritual sight opened tremendously, and you're still waiting for the sight to return in your eye. The one
I, you know, I'm not waiting exactly, but I'm not saying that it couldn't happen. You know, if I go to a doctor in New York, they go, oh, my God, you know, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, you're, the eye gel is going to fall out of your eye. We've got to do something, you know, that kind of thing. And it's really creepy, so I decided to quit going to them because they were creeping me out too much.
It's more scary than the crocodiles.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, we've got some a whole bunch of questions lined up. People have called in. They're waiting to talk to you, Margaret, and we also have some questions in the chat room. Helene, are we ready to do questions? Do we need to take a break? What do you think?
We are. I think we should take Eric from Florida because he's been very patient.
Okay.
And Eric, you're live on the air with us and Margaret.
Hello. Oh, hi.
Hi. Do you have a question for Margaret tonight?
It's sort of for my friend. She has a problem with her mouth. My friend's name is Tracy. And I don't know, like, what her problem is with it. And I was wondering if maybe you could tell me.
With her mouth?
Yeah.
What do you mean, inside her mouth, outside of her mouth?
Just her mouth.
Uh-huh. Did she go to a doctor?
Yeah, but they can't help it.
What did they say?
They said it's just too white.
Number one, I don't know about Patricia and Helene, but I don't do diagnosis. I just don't do it. So, you know, when people come to me and they say I have this, that, and the other thing, then I work because I don't attach to a particular disease. So I don't do diagnosis. And maybe you guys with Patricia, Helene, you want to respond to
that?
Well,
we don't diagnose either, I think, and it was very unclear what he was asking, and we did lose the call, and I'm very sorry about that. But
okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough thing with any kind of question that people have. They have to be really specific about what their question is, okay?
So I'm not an MD. I don't do diagnosis, ever.
No.
I just don't.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand. We're going to welcome Michelle from Massachusetts. And Michelle, you're live on the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
Margaret, this is Michelle.
Oh, Michelle, I've heard about you. Hello.
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'm great.
Also. I just have to let you know that your book did inspire me. Like I said, I've read everything you've put in the back of it. I'm actually on the shape-shifting book right now. I also ordered a rosary from Josie Ravenwing, and
oh,
I got
wonderful.
It on Wednesday, a rosary from John of God. And I actually think I'm going through my own healing with it. And this got all inspired by you.
Oh, Michelle, that makes me feel really good. It makes me happy when people are excelling in something that they really desire to do. It makes me very happy. And, you know, you emailing me has been super. And I'm really grateful that is doing this for you. You know, Josie and I've been taking groups down to Brazil with her, you know, since 2001, and I'm so happy that you're in contact with her because she's just a really superior,
wonderful
being.
Yes, I was very surprised. The first night I got the rosary, I actually contacted her and said, could this actually be happening without even seeing him? And she said, definitely. And I was like, oh,
yeah. Yay.
Yeah.
This is the way it is. Wow. Do you have a question that I can answer?
Well, I do have a friend that actually had non-locality surgery through John of God on Wednesday. She's actually listening to the show right now because I told her all about you.
Hello,
I don't know if you can give her any type of, I want to say, inspiration. She's just having a hard time right now. She's still in pain. It was kidneys and bladder.
She didn't know
a lot about John of God till he did the surgery. Let's put it this way.
Several times, I mean, you can pet. Oh, she's listening on the phone. People will experience an actual surgery taking place on them in their home, even though they have not gone to Brazil. Sometimes people will see entities in the room, doctor spirits. They will feel certain things. It really depends on the person and the situation. I remember there was a woman several years ago who the back of her skull slipped down into her spine, and they had to take the back of her head off, the skull.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. And she had some other things wrong with her, but they used the cadaver's skull on the back of her head. So she had been in bed for 5 years and was on a morphine drip. Her husband was a doctor. And she wrote to Josie. She was in one of the groups that I was with. And she said, you know, I really want to come. I'm on the other side of the U.S. and I haven't been out of bed in 5 years. I can't even get on a plane. I'm in too much pain. So Josie went in front of the entity and he said, have her take these pills, which is Passiflora. They don't give pharmaceuticals there. They give energy-charged pills. Have her take these, and in 3 months, she'll be able to come down here. 3 months later, she was in the group. She was wheeled on a stretcher. The first week, she spent in bed, and the entities were working on her, even though she hadn't gone to the casa. By the second week, she was dancing.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she's, over the years, been getting better and better. But this is an instance where the entities went to her before she went to Brazil to do work on her so she would be well enough to get on the plane. So I hope that...
That almost sounds like, in fact, my friend's going to be calling in. She just said, I think I'm going to call in to speak to her. And I said, yes, please do. That was her. She, like I say, bad liver, bad kidney. And she couldn't do the plane trip because she can't even get up out of the chair half the time.
Mm.
And that's why she actually did it through a surrogate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she
I've been a surrogate for several people. Down in Brazil. Surrogate means that when you're in Brazil, you ask the entity in John of God, can I have an operation for a person that's in Ohio or in Canada? And he will say yes or no, and you have the spiritual operation, which is an invisible operation where the entities work on you, but they're actually working on the other person's body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a surrogate operation.
Yeah, that's what she went. And like I say, I've told her it takes a little time. It's probably just like a regular surgery type thing, and to just have faith that it did work, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck to her.
Oh, she'll be, like I say, she'll be calling into you.
Okay. Well, Michelle, thanks so much, and we'll be keeping in touch, right?
Oh, we definitely will. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, Michelle, and thank you for listening.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, we have another caller who's been very patient, and that's Brittany in New Jersey. And let's see if we can get her on. Okay,
hi.
Brittany,
hello.
You're live on the air. Hi.
Hi.
You have a question for Margaret tonight?
I was wondering if it's possible. I don't know if this is one of your colleagues or if you guys go in different groups. You know, I have watched a different amount of shows on it, but there was a woman on one of the shows who could actually, like, do the clearing or healing on the radio to herself. I was wondering if you do that, or do you bring a picture, or do you give the person their name?
Are you speaking about John of God?
Yeah. It was somebody who, I don't want to say worked for him, but would take a bunch of people to go see him.
Well,
I think he had, like, an Australian accent. I forgot, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure of your question. There's several, maybe a half a dozen guides that are authorized by the CASA to bring people down. Josie Ravenwing is one of them. There were some Australians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some Australians I know that bring people down. So the best thing to do, the smartest thing to do if you want to go down is to connect with one of the guides. I highly recommend Josie Ravenwing because, you know, it's Portuguese. It's another language. There's a lot of things that go on that are emotionally and psychically very powerful, so some of the healings, and it's always a good idea to be with someone that knows what you're going through, that can help you in the best way possible, and these are people that are extremely experienced in this kind of thing. Is that what you were asking me?
Yeah, for the most part, I wish I remember this woman's name because I hate going back and forth and comparing you two. She did like a clearing.
What she's asking Margaret is if she does any clearings on the radio.
If I do.
Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
I
just was curious.
Yeah, Brittany, are you talking about Kavita, who was on our show, who did a clearing right on the radio? That's who you might
I
be talking about.
I know this woman had something to do with John of God.
Oh, she did. Okay, it wasn't Kavita then. Okay. I was just curious because that is a guest that we did have on our show a couple of months ago who did clearing right on the radio for all of our listeners.
I wish I could tell you guys, and it was a good, really good show, and I didn't write down the name or anything, but
okay.
I mean,
Did you get a clearing from it?
No, I listened to like a podcast of it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not like a live version.
Yeah, no, the work that I do is person to person.
No, it's okay. I just was curious.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Brittany, and thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you, Brittany.
Okay.
I have just one question that came out in the chat room, and I wanted to bring this out because it's an absolutely great question. They wanted to know if there's any of this type of healing that is being done here in the United States.
Well, the kind of healing that I'm talking about in ecstatic healing, there are three healers in the book. They are all possessed by a spirit that does the healing work. So I suppose it's a little bit different because the form and the ritual is different. And, you know, when John of God comes to the United States, when he did, for 5 or 6 years I was always working with him, he can't do the same things that he does in Brazil because of our laws.
Mm. Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to answer that. You might find someone that can do this particular kind of work. And I have heard of a few people, and I cannot talk about them through experience because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the answer I have for that.
Okay.
What about
well,
you guys,
thank you.
Patricia and Helene? Do you what's your answer to that?
That's my understanding. Is that I know that psychic healers and spirit healers have come to the United States, but they've had to work either underground or very cautiously because of our laws. So I'm aware of that conundrum that anybody would face coming in from a different culture to the United States to try to offer this type of healing. It's not something that our laws and our culture welcomes easily. So I know people have to be careful when they come in from Brazil or Ecuador or wherever, if
right.
they come in at all.
It's interesting because Dawn of God will, everybody gets passiflora, which is an herb, which is basically kind of a relaxation herb. You can get that anywhere in the United States in a health food store. And he energetically charges it. But he's not allowed to give out the passiflora. I mean, that's the, and you go from there, and there are other things that he has to keep within the law of the country that he's visiting. He certainly can't do the physical surgeries where he cuts into people's brains or takes their appendix out. That's definitely not going to happen here. So,
are you hearing interference on the line, Patricia?
I am. I was just going to ask you if you hear it too.
Is it coming from me?
Yeah.
It just stopped.
Oh.
Yeah, it stopped, but it was coming from you.
Well,
so,
I'm sorry. There's some thunderstorm
activity
around here.
That's okay. I'd just like to interject right now. Could you please tell everybody your website if they'd like to reach you?
Sure. It's MargaretDeWise.com, MargaretDeWise.com.
Right, and they can write
on the website. You can see I take people to Ecuador for healing, and my two books are there, and consultations and so on.
That's wonderful. Thank you. We should have asked you earlier. Sorry about that. But
no problem.
And the two books are Ecstatic Healing, A Journey into the Shamanic World of Spirit Possession and Miraculous Medicine, and Black Smoke. They're both available on Amazon.
Yeah.
And Black Smoke is out of print at the moment. You can get some hardcover copies on Amazon, but Inner Traditions will be putting it out May 2014 in paperback.
Great.
Excellent.
Well, we're going to take this opportunity to take another short break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll take our next caller, Meredith in Massachusetts. Please use this last few minutes opportunity to call in at 646-478-0828 with your questions, and we will be right back. Stay tuned. Patricia, we're live on the air, and we'll just take this opportunity to talk about what a fantastic show this is. Margaret, this is great.
So this is right up there with one of our top 10 shows. We have tremendous interest. The chat room is filling up with lots and lots of people. We've got tons of callers, and I know a lot of people listening just on the Internet. People are fascinated by this subject of healing and the spirit that takes possession of these people to come through and offer them a whole different experience of becoming whole again.
Well, it is true that remarkable spirits of divine light and love come through healers. And this goes on with lots of people. Not at the level of John of God, perhaps, because he's got 30 entities that he's working with, and he goes into complete trance state to do this. But I have heard many stories over the years of people having other entities help them with healing, and it's just a fascinating journey into healing that's just remarkable. And Margaret herself is amazingly energized and totally connected to all of this, and it's just so inspiring, really.
It is. I mean, and again, to be inspired by Margaret is the healing in and of itself, because she is a lady that has tremendous courage, and to take on this whole experience of going into the jungle. And
you know, I don't know if I could do it. Could you do it?
I don't know if I could either. I mean, there's no hotel there that sounds like it would meet my standards.
I've said it on the air before. I camp at the Hyatt. That's it.
That's right. Hey, I'm right with you. So, yes, I know, but this has been a great, great, great show. And I want to encourage everybody to go over to SupernaturalGirlsWithAZ.com, sign up for the newsletter. We have a lot of giveaways coming up this fall. We're giving away books. There's going to be discounts on products and all kinds of things. So sign up over there at SupernaturalGirls.com. www.thebigfootpodcast.com and visit our new store with our fabulous product, the first one by Becky Andreasen, which is a prosperity prayer. 10 minutes a day, that's all it takes with this prosperity prayer to change your life. So take a look at that. You'll read all about Becky and what she is offering with this wonderful, wonderful prosperity prayer.
It is just remarkable, and I use it myself. I am just in awe of how she is able to read, write, and speak the angelic language. And that, you know, all words are energized. Everything has some kind of energy attached to it. But her speaking the words of that language, it's immensely powerful. It creates
there's
a
nothing like
system.
It. There's,
no, there
there's
really
nothing
isn't.
Like it. No, she's one of a kind.
I think she's the only one in the world who does it, you know.
That's
it's
right. And it's on supernaturalgirls.com in the store. So everybody go check it out. You will not be disappointed. You will be energized and be able to reconnect with the prosperity that you deserve. And as Helene mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is abundance in every area of your life, for love, for prosperity, for a richness in your life, not just talking about cold, hard cash here. We're talking about every aspect of your life, having a prosperous and new, renewed attitude and experience.
Yes. And I hope that while they're looking around the Internet and signing up for Supernatural Girls, that they'll also sign up at angelslighthouse.com, where I am, because I'll be coming out with some new specials in the next week. And I love to see new people joining and connecting with me as well.
And you have beautiful, beautiful jewelry also, because I wear it. I love it. It's just gorgeous crystal bracelets that are also angelically charged. So for people who want jewelry with power, go to angelslighthouse.com.
Thank you, Patricia. Well, let's get back to this fantastic show, and our next caller will be right with you. And right now, welcome back, everyone. We're going to welcome Meredith from Massachusetts. She's Michelle's friend, who is an earlier caller. You're live on the air, Meredith.
Hello. I just appreciated Michelle bringing my name up, and I wanted to call and say hello to Margaret specifically for kind of an unusual reason. I work as a healer and clairvoyant. I do readings, and I've been sick with kidney and bladder issues for a while, very, very sick. And recently I've been told that I've been sick so that I could become a healer, but I have to walk the walk. I was going to be healed by a laser surgery, and I was going to meet a woman named Margaret.
Oh,
and I don't know a Margaret, and I've been hearing this for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I've been getting worse and worse, more and more sick. My doctor, my urine has been going from my bladder up to my kidneys, which are swollen. My doctor wants to take my bladder out, all this. I've been trying to heal. Nothing is working. Out of the blue, a friend called and said she heard a medium, and I needed to see her. I guess she works with John of God. So this woman, I was in Newport. I live in, you know, maybe half hour away. So I can't drive to see you. I'm too sick. I can't go anywhere because of my bladder. Well, she came to see me. She gave me a powerful crystal and had me take my picture and send it to John of God. You have to take up front, back, and side dressed in white, and then they arrange a psychic surgery for you. I didn't have to do anything. So I had this surgery 2 nights ago, and I am in so much pain right now. They told me they would just visit once, and I don't know what happened, but I don't know if there were more complications. They're going to come back. I'm just having a lot of faith. But I was inspired, to say hello to Margaret and, to look up. I'm a writer also, and to read your books. So I don't know what the connection, if you're the Margaret, but Michelle talked to me about you, and I said, that's interesting. You know, I'm wondering if this is the Margaret I'm supposed to meet.
Well, that is very interesting. And first of all, going back to you had the surgery 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when people do have these invisible surgeries, the psychic surgery, the organ or the diseased part will feel worse.
Yeah.
Does it feel worse since they came?
Oh,
it's
worse than. I woke up in the morning, and I felt like I had been kicked in my kidneys, which usually don't hurt me, and my bladder, it feels like it's on fire. It's going to fall out, and I called the medium, and she said, well, maybe you have a urinary tract infection. And then I called I wrote to the woman in Brazil, and she said, don't worry, it's all in divine timing. They're going to be with you for 40 days. So she said, you just have to trust. So, but my doctor, I had this Harvard doctor in Boston who's like totally intrigued, and he wants to get me in there to find out what's changed. It's really kind of cute. But I just have to have faith. Something happened. But I just,
well,
you know.
Meredith, if you want, connect with me on my Facebook page, which is Margaret DeWise, and we can talk off camera, so to speak.
Yeah.
If you'd like to do that. But sometimes it does get worse before it gets better. I mean, after my eye surgery, I was in pain. Of course, I was out of it for a lot of days because I was off running into different places on the spiritual plane.
Well, I will order your book.
Yeah,
I'd like to read it. But someone had asked about just a few minutes ago about healing in the United States, and that is one way to do it. You don't have to go to Brazil. So I just know that's kind of response to that person's question as well.
Well, actually, it's sometimes John of God will say, I want you in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And he will put sometimes a mark on a picture and say, this person should come down.
Right.
Because sometimes, not for everybody, but that's sometimes a qualification. And, of course, when you can come down, if you have the money, that you must come down under every, you know. So, but usually when people do go to Brazil, if you become well enough, it's spiritually a very important meeting of your soul and destiny. I've just seen so many people there whose lives have changed. Even some people who have not been healed have a different relationship to what their life path is, who they are, and what they find is important, and I think it's really a big thing.
Yeah, but that's all I want to say, so thank you.
Well, thank you, Meredith, and we'll be in contact.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Meredith. Thank you for listening. Fascinating questions tonight, and we have one more from our friend Steve, who actually does live in Ecuador, so... Let's see if we can get him. Steve, you're live on the air.
Well, good evening, Helene, Patricia, and Margaret.
Hi.
How are y'all?
We're great.
Super.
It's a great show tonight.
Where do you live in Ecuador?
I live in a town called Cotacachi.
Oh, I love Cotacachi.
Well, I'm glad. And
I spent some months there. It's very beautiful. Very beautiful.
Well, how come I didn't meet you, Margaret, when you were down there?
Last time I was in Cotacachi was about 10 years ago. I mostly go into the jungle.
Well, that's what I gathered here. And I don't have a question for you, but I do. I am going to the jungle myself sometime after. I'm taking a little trip to the States, and I'll be back in October. And some friends and I are going to be going to the jungle, but I'm not sure which part of the jungle we're going to be going to. I know it's going to be in the Amazon, and it's going to be closer to the Colombia border. Where were you located?
Well, Morona, Santiago, and the Pastaza River, and Mishawayi, different places like that. So
okay.
Morona, Santiago is where the Shuar come from, and those are the people I mostly work with. Although I've worked with Andeans and Quechuas in the mountains and different areas. And actually, there were some really wonderful healers in and about Cotacachi. And, of course, you live near Imbabura, right?
See, yes. That's
yeah,
right.
And so Imbabura, they tell such wonderful stories. Imbabura is a mountain. And is it Cotacachi that is her husband?
That's the rumor, yes.
Yes, and so at one point they got into a fight and they were throwing rocks at one another.
That's right.
Yeah, but the beauty of Imbabura is that every time there's a tear that comes down from Imbabura, which would, I suppose, be I don't know what, now I can't remember, a shaman is born. Because around the mountain, every time, what happens in Imbabura? It's not is it a tear? They say that when Imbabura cries, then a shaman is born. And around the base of that mountain, there are several shamans, one of which was named Maria Juana. I don't know if she's still around. She was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. But do you go and look for people? And the Tamayos are there, I know. Do you work with different healers?
No, I don't. I don't. No, I don't. But I'm very, very interested in the healers. And I'm calling because I know a few years ago I was taking a flight somewhere in the U.S. I can't remember where. I know it was a long flight. My wife was sitting to the right by the window. I was in the middle, and I met a gentleman on the aisle seat. His name was Mark Morgan. I use his name only because he was a television personality in San Diego. And we just started talking, and next thing we know, we started talking about spiritual things. And he said to me, he said, Steve, he said he was in India. And I don't know whether John of God was in India or was Brazil, but maybe I'm confused, and maybe he was in Brazil, but I keep on thinking India. But he said that he met John of God, and he was talking about John of God and what happened to him. And he, in fact, it was on the YouTube that he emailed me, and I saw this, and I was quite impressed, to say the least, what happened. I can't remember all the details about that, but it was on the YouTube, and he wasn't really sick. But apparently after seeing John of God, all of a sudden he started bleeding through his chest. I mean, it started blood coming through his shirt there. And I have to remember now, I do think that John of God did something to his nose. And I can't remember all the details.
Oh, yeah, the Roto-Rooter up the nose.
That's exactly right. Yes, that's right.
That will have the invisible surgery. That's where you sit in a room for about 5 minutes, and the energy is very strong there. Some people feel hands inside of their body. And a man, you're wearing white in the casa, a man came out to get some soup for grounding, and he looked down at his shirt, and there was a little bit of blood. So he had been operated on, even though they call it basically psychic surgery, because there's no knife involved. That's somewhat common, or happens.
Jeez. I'm just curious, was he in India, or has he been in Brazil this entire time? I keep on thinking India, and I could have been confused with that.
It's really interesting because I've spent a lot of time in Abhijñāna, which is where the casa is. And there were certain people that were very sick that would spend 6 months in India and 6 months in Brazil with John of God. To my knowledge, John of God has never been to India. He's been to New Zealand. He's been to Germany. He's been to Greece. Canada. But people would go to Sai Baba for 6 months, and then they would go to John of God, which was really very interesting to me because when I was down with this Zulu high priest, which is at the end of my book, the healing that he does, Sai Baba called on the phone for him. And it's really, really fascinating because a lot of these high-level spiritual masters, these people are healers, but they're also spiritual masters, know each other. And so I would guess, I don't know, what year was your friend talking about India? Because Sai Baba left.
Right, I could have been confused on that, Margaret. I mean, I was thinking India, but it probably was Brazil. All I remember, though, is he was on the YouTube, and I saw this, and he did it wasn't San Diego. He was in Australia. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He was a broadcaster in Australia, and he showed this to the Australian people over there, and it was just really amazing. And I've always accepted this type of therapy and treatment, and for as long as I can remember. And just watching this and what happened, it was quite impressive. And what you were saying earlier about the idea that he will not cure everybody, or he will not tell you he can that he can do this is very accurate from what Mark was telling me, because he was mentioning that some people would go up to him, and he said, I cannot take care of this. For whatever reason, if this was something related to spiritual contract that this gentleman or woman had, and that he could not or would not take care of this particular medical problem. And that much I remember him talking about that as well.
Mm. That's true. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've even seen him with the one woman who had uterine, that word.
Mm-hmm.
He said, have the chemo now because you're so far gone. You need this right now, and then you come back, and I will finish it. So he, you know, when you're there, he'll say to people that have heart problems, everybody take your pill. We're not asking you to cut anything out. We're not interfering with any medical doctor, what they have to say, which is the appropriate thing to do. And one time I was with someone who was a diabetic that took a lot of insulin, and her diabetes got cured, and she kept taking the same amount of insulin, and she almost killed herself. And I kept telling her, you've got to check your blood, and if it says less insulin, take less insulin. So it's really, really, really interesting, and it's different for everybody, the experience and the healing.
Well, I tell you. Margaret, very quickly, where is John of God located again in Brazil? I may have missed that if you didn't.
A small town called Abadiania, and it's about a two-hour drive from Brasilia. So that's central Brazil in the state of Goiás. Goias.
Goias. Okay, not that I'm going to go there anytime soon, but I was just curious about that.
I have flown back and forth from Ecuador to Brazil. You have to go through Peru. You can do
it. Yes, yeah. Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure. Margaret, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Patricia, Helene, thank you as always. This is a great show, and I feel very fortunate to be able to listen to this show and listen to you folks. It's quite inspiring and very, very healthy for me personally. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for listening and calling, Steve.
It's always great to hear from you.
He's a lovely guy.
He's a chipper guy, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good energy.
Mhm. He really is.
Well, now I have a question for you, Margaret, in terms of shamanic healing, because now shamans, there are different types. Some of them do not do spirit healing. Some of them do other types of healing, and their worldview is quite different than ours. Can you share a little bit about that? What is the worldview of the shaman? How different?
Oh my goodness! I just saw a little mouse.
Well, that'll change your worldview.
It was a shaman mouse. Oh my God! Wow! Ain't that something? What a surprise. Actually, every shamanic person that I've ever worked with, they don't talk about it, but they either have spirits that are working with them or inside their body. Now, the person that I worked with in Ecuador, Carlos, the Shuar healer, what turned into a black jaguar. And I could see this huge jaguar and these fangs and claws. But he also worked with other spirits, some female spirits, and a Tibetan, you know. But, you know, most people don't know that. But usually, even people that will get plants, a spirit will tell them, go pick this plant for that person's healing. So I'm not so sure that all shamans do not work with some kind of spirit helpers or allies or whatever. And, of course, I don't know if that's true or not, but everyone that I've ever worked with has worked on the spiritual plane with other masters or healers.
Okay, so they're all involved with that. And then I just got another question from Michelle, actually, about she forgot to ask about the shaking medicine. Can you address that?
Well, actually, first of all, the books at the back of my book were put in by the publisher. So those are not my personal choices, which I'm not, you know, I'm not either here nor there on that. Shaking medicine is a term that Bradford Keeney uses, who's a very powerful healer. And he learned this kind of medicine from the sand bushmen in Namibia, in Africa, where he was called. And what they do is they have something they call num, which is this energy that they can pass on to another person by shaking. And it's a powerful healing package, I guess you could call it. And they say that they take ropes up to God, and when they get to the high ceiling, they can see all the people that are sick, and they can put their hands on them. So it's probably because the Bushmen are at least 50,000 years old, and apparently older than the Aboriginals of Australia. It may be the first type of healing ever that humans did. And they're, even though they're being hunted and chased today and forced onto reservations, they still are practicing this kind of medicine to the extent that they are able.
Well, thank you for answering that.
Can you talk a little bit about Credo Mutwa?
Yes. He's such a special being. Vuzama Zulu Haisenusi Credo Mutwa. Haisenusi means that he's the head of the highest spiritual leader of the Zulu people. He is the carrier of the magical and medical knowledge of his people. A lot of the information, all of the information was given to him in oral tradition, which is how Africans have been doing that for millennium. And the initiations to learn thousands and thousands of what we would consider pages is something that he was taught. So he is the keeper of the magical knowledge. He would tell me things that in thousands of years ago, healers in North or Central Africa could talk to people in every country. Of course, they weren't the same names of countries. They had runners, and they had a language. It was a mystical language of symbols, and they could talk with one another. And so all the healers up there, even Kenya, South Africa, Namibia, Ethiopia, they could communicate with each other and talk, and also talk telepathically on a spiritual level. Vuzama Zulu is a very powerful human being who, when I met him, had cancer three times. And each time he cured himself of this fatal disease. When I first spoke with him, he said, you know, I was working on lead and some of this black stuff fell on my leg, and it got black, and my leg started getting very bad. I went to the white man doctor, and the doctor said, sir, you have melanoma. Mm-hmm. And Vuzama Zulu Credo Mutwa said, what is this beautiful-sounding name? What do you mean? And so the doctor explained that they would have to cut his leg off at the hip. Vuzama Zulu said, oh, no, you can't do that. He said, I was so weak, I was so sick. And he's also an artist, and he was doing this, like, 30-foot goddess sculpture of the mother. And he said he had his friends tie him to a ladder. And he said, I put all of my joy, all of my desire, everything I had into this sculpture. And he said, my cancer ran away. And then he said to me, cancer is afraid of ecstasy.
Wow, that's
the
very
human
profound.
Body, the human body and the soul, cancer is a hungry beast. It feeds on fear. It's not the cancer that kills the person, it's the fear. And he's at the end of my book, and so I go through a number of ceremonies and understanding of ecstatic trance through what he's been teaching me, and it took me about 10 years to get to him. I went through a lot of other people and these other situations to actually be able to absorb and understand what he was teaching me.
What an experience, my goodness. Now, what are your plans for yourself, or do you have plans, or you're just in terms of becoming your own healer and a healer for others?
I never make plans. Plans come to me. I do a lot of spiritual work every day. And there is something coming up, which I'm not allowed to speak about. I can, and I don't have the full vision of it, but I certainly have some sense of it, and it's pretty exciting.
That's great.
So, yes. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I'm not retired, okay? I just keep on keeping on.
Now, please again, say your website for everybody.
Okay, it's, I'm going to give you the same, blacksmokethebook.com is my website. MargaretDWise.com is my website, MargaretDWise.com.
And the name of your books are Black Smoke, which you said is out of print currently, but there are some hardback copies available on Amazon.com. And also Ecstatic Healing, A Journey into the Shamanic World of Spirit Possession and Miraculous Medicine. Great book. This one I have in my hand right now. It is a great book, and I highly recommend it. I'm also going to get Black Smoke when it is back in paperback print because it's great. You're an excellent writer, Margaret, and the way you write so descriptively and with such emotion, I really feel like, you know, we're right there with you reading this book.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I didn't go to writing school. I think it was just something that had to be said.
So it just came right out of you.
Well, no, it was a lot of hard work, but it was not, it was maybe it's harder work for me because I'm not a writer. I don't know. I'm a storyteller, and I'm telling my story.
That's all you need to do. And it's fascinating because the energy, when you talk about John of God and some of these other healers, their energy is profoundly intermixed with yours. Don't you see? Must see the same thing I'm seeing, Helene.
Yes.
I mean, it's a part of you.
At one point, it was just streaming, and
that's
where we had the experience on the line, yeah.
I mean, they've never left you. I mean, you may not be in their presence, but they've never left you. They are intertwined with you.
I know. I mean, I know it. And, you know, when I do my work here, I go to this incredible plane where the energy is just so divine. And that comes from these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful human beings that are helping out mankind, namely John of God in Carlos in Ecuador. Yeah, and Buza Mazulu Kretamutua has been on this earth, probably his last incarnation to finish off his business, but he's helped millions of people too.
Incredible. And then I do have another question in the chat room that I didn't mean to pass over here. It came from a while back when you were talking about some type of an herb, some pills that were given to somebody. You said they don't prescribe medication, obviously, but John of God had suggested these pills, and they wanted to know the name of the herb you mentioned because they missed that.
The herb is passiflora.
Okay, passiflora.
P-A-S-S-I-F-L-O-R-A, which is passion fruit, right? I mean, you can passiflora, if you go online or any health food store, you can get it. It's a sedative. It's sort of like chamomile. But the herb, he gives every single person this herb, but they're specially doctored energetically just for that one person. So if he gives me a month's worth of passiflora, do not take mine because it's built for my energy body.
Yeah, he's charging that medicine himself, right?
Right, Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the entities are charging it, and they also use charged water there, which is very powerful. But the passiflora, even though it's one herb for a million people, each prescription is different because of the energy imprint on it.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying that they don't charge money for what they do.
That's true.
So people that want to go with you to see this John of God or any of the other healers, is it it's just the cost that just to get down there, the cost of a place to stay and your meals? Is that what the cost is for people
basically
who are interested?
Basically, that's the cost. If you go with a tour guide like Josie, there is a certain cost of fee for her because when I'm working with her, because we're with people 24/7 and we do a lot of work for them, and also the taxis from the airport and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, so it's basically a very good price. With John of God, if you want to donate something, you can, and there are busloads, thousands of Brazilians that come every week that don't have any money. They just have enough to get on the bus, and they don't get to spend the night in these hotels called posadas, because they don't have the money, and they are treated for free. And everybody is treated for free. It just so happens that there are some famous actresses and actors and sheikhs and royal people that will give him quite a bit of money, and it keeps the casa afloat.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good that there are people that are well money that will donate to the cause, and then that helps so many other people to continue to have the benefit of his work.
Sure, and a lot of people that go down there, they want to leave something extra. I mean, you know, if you're healed from MS or something like that, you might feel so grateful to this person and to all the volunteers that work there that you might want to donate to. And people do, because they're just really humble and very grateful.
You know, you bring up an interesting thing about autoimmune disease. And I would imagine that as individual as these healings are that are offered to people, do you find that there's any common thread with some of these diseases, like autoimmune disease, which have spiked tremendously in the last 20 years? Is there any common thread in how he treats people with those illnesses?
No.
So everything's just particular to that person.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, really, it's interesting because when people in the United States go to the healer, they want an hour and a half, and everything about, you know, them and what. And John of God is seeing, you know, 4,000 people. Like, I, you know, in Atlanta, we would see 2,500 people a day. He does not have time. And he doesn't need to do that kind of in-depth work on one person, because the entities in that present moment, which is the past and the future, can do everything within 1 second, that particular kind of healing. So people that want a hands-on kind of approach could be disappointed. In fact, a lot of people are like, yeah, but he didn't let me even ask the question to tell him what was wrong with me. Because when you go through the current rooms, there are entities there that diagnose you as you're walking towards John of God. He knows by the time you get there what's wrong with you and what needs to be done. And so you don't even really have to be in his presence to be cured, which is not to say that he's not a very important person.
Well, no. I mean, I can feel his energy just coming right with you. I mean, you carry his energy. He is with you, and I can certainly feel that. I know, Helene, you can too.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Very powerful.
Very powerful. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see you guys go down there, because you would really, 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 really love it. You would just love it.
I'm sure we would. She said hesitantly. I think there would be aspects
money.
Of it that
just
we would really
money.
Appreciate. And
oh,
then there would be others.
It's powerful. I mean, you know, you're with hundreds of people that have grave illnesses, and so they're right at that vulnerable moment when they could pass. And there are healers there who are asked not to work on other people because you don't want to interfere with what the entities, the costs are doing. It is potent and magical. Magical is not the right word because it's not magic. It's real, and it feels miraculous, and it seems to be miraculous.
Well,
but what is a miracle? It has to be part of our cosmology, so that makes it miracles also natural in my mind.
Well, again, the shamanistic view of the world, from what I understand, there is no separation, and so right there, they're ahead of the game, being able to have this wholeness of the universe within them and carrying that forward and then using the resources that are at their disposal due to this wholeness and unity. It is very powerful. And, boy, what a wonderful journey you're having with all of this, Margaret. This is great.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed, indeed.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're just about out of time. And again, the books to purchase and that are great, written by Margaret, Ecstatic Healing, A Journey into the Shamanic World of Spirit Possession, and Miraculous Medicine and Black Smoke.
Thank you so much, Patricia and Helene.
Thank you. It's been a fantastic couple of hours, and it's gone so quickly because you've been such a wonderful and eloquent guest.
Oh, merci beaucoup.
Well, please keep us posted on your adventures. I'm sure we're going to want to have you back. I know our listeners are going to want to hear from you again. So please keep in touch with us and let us know. I know you've got something exciting coming up you can't share yet, but at some point when you can, let us know.
Okay. All right. Have a good evening.
Well, thank
you.
You too. And I just want to let everybody know that next week we have yet another exciting guest coming on the show. We have a medical doctor who we call Doc Cindy. She's going to be joining us talking about her book, Armageddon Medicine. So when the grid goes down and everything goes to hell in a handbasket, if you want to know how to take care of yourself and your family, Doc Cindy's going to be here to answer all your questions. So she is a medical doctor. She's coming here to join us for 2 hours next week, and it is going to be a very spirited discussion on everything from where to get antibiotics. She's going to tell you to go to a fish store. And also, how to take care of yourself, your own needs, even how to set your own broken bones. I mean, this woman is just going to be filling our heads with information. So don't miss it next week.
It'll be another fascinating show, Patricia, because this
I can't wait. This gets more exciting.
It does. It really does. Well, thank you, Patricia. It's been great.
It has been, Helene.
We'll see you all next week.
Yes, see you next week. Good night.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another radio adventure with